All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting matters from around the Rebel County and further afield. We're going to start now with a charity match taking place in St. Coleman's Park in Cove at 7.30 tonight. And to talk to me about it was one of the event organisers, Dara Murphy. All right, another warm Big Red Bench. Welcome to Dara Murphy. Dara, we've had you in studio a few times, but today we're talking about something different. It's the Derry O'Mahony charity match taking place in St. Coleman's Park, the one League Vernon Ground out in Cove tonight, kick-off at 7:30. Dara, how did this come to be?
First of all, thanks for having me on. I'm usually on here talking about, or singing songs, I suppose, but here I'm promoting a different cause today. Credit to Dylan Power, who kind of first came up with the cause for Derry O'Mahony, who unfortunately passed away of cancer 20 years ago. His son is playing in the game as well, and so the two charities we're doing it for are the Irish Cancer Society and As I Am Ireland. We've got lots of big names involved from up and down the country, from the world of kind of League of Ireland and football and, you know, TikTok, Instagram, everything, to kind of, you know, get a different pull and kind of audience. I'm really looking forward to tonight.
Who are some of the names that'll be playing?
We got Kieran O'Mahony, we got Keane Costello, we got Millennial Dad, everyone knows him from Cork, Jamie McIntyre from Galway, big, big singer, got Aaron Howie from Cork City, you know him yourself, Dan.
We'll see how he is at the other side of the football. How's training been going for this match?
The training, we've had two or three training days and media days. All I'm saying is, personally, I'm confident.
Well, what side are you on?
So I'm playing for the League of Ireland All-Stars, we're playing against the LOI Talk team. And our manager is the Cork Consistent Runner.
Well, look, you're talking there, it is the Derry O'Mahony charity match. But where are the proceeds from this charity match going?
So the proceeds are being split 50-50 between the Irish Cancer Society and As I Am Ireland, which is an autism charity. I think it's a great cause and everyone should donate, even if they can't make the game. There's a GoFundMe link, and if you can't make it, just buy a ticket anyway. The tickets are only €10, I think, and it's all for a great cause.
Perfect stuff. Well, looks playing out in St. Coleman's Park, I mean, huge thanks to Cove Ramblers, I'm sure, as well, for getting involved.
Yes. Absolutely, big thanks to Cove Ramblers. Next year we're on to Highway about getting it in Turner's Cross.
Make it more accessible.
And no doubt we'll be walking out to after all anyway.
And how the ticket sales been going for this one, Dara?
So at the moment we've sold a couple hundred tickets, still nowhere near the capacity of St. Coleman's Park. I think Coleman's Park holds about 4,000, so we're nowhere near that, so still plenty of tickets to be sold. And if you can't make it for whatever reason, there is a YouTube live stream as well that can be found in the link in our Derry O'Mahony Instagram page.
So where can people find that Instagram page? And if they want to go get a ticket for tonight, they can still get them, yes?
Yeah. So all the tickets are still available. You just go onto Eventbrite, search Derry O'Mahony charity match, and you'll find them there, or you'll find them in the link to any one of the creators involved or the Derry O'Mahony Instagram page, which is literally Derry O'Mahony match on Instagram.
All right. Well, hopefully a few of our listeners will start heading out to St. Colin's Park now for a great cause for the Irish Cancer Society. And as I am, Dara Murphy, best luck in the game tonight. Give us a score prediction.
Score prediction, I think 7-4. I'm getting a hat-trick. Thanks, Dan.
I admire the confidence. All the best and best luck in the game.
Thanks, Dan.
All right. Well, be sure to hop in the car and get out to that one if you can. St. Coleman's Park in Cove, 7:30 tonight. Charity game with a few well-known Irish influencers in aid of the Irish Cancer Society and As I Am an Autism Charity. Sticking with football, on Cork City's women's side, they lost 2-0 to Sligo Rovers earlier today in their SSC Airtricity League clash. And the men's side, however, did get a draw against Derry City last night up in the Brandywell. We now sit 7 points behind relegation rivals Sligo Rovers, with just 9 games left to play. It's really hotting up. Let's hear from the gaffer, Ger Nash, now with audio thanks to LOI TV.
Cork City manager Gerard Nash joins us now. Cork, a very committed display tonight, Gerard, is that fair to say, and a draw maybe a fair result?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I think the stats and stuff will tell you they had most of the ball, but I think we were pretty comfortable on the whole. Defended well, good defensive display. We're coming away from home, you know, to keep a clean sheet. We're pleased with that. We also had, you know, we didn't have a great amount of chances. We had opportunities where we felt we could have probably done better in the final third, and throw-ins and some corner kicks in the second half. half in particular. But we would have liked a bit more with the ball. But look, overall, in terms of the defensive aspect of the display, and you mentioned the commitment. I mean, the commitment of the players was fantastic. I mean, I've got a young lad there, Charlie Lutch, who's come and joined the club, and he's literally spilling blood for the cause, that's for sure. He's got a nasty gash, so we've got to look at him. But look, the commitment of the players was fantastic. We've got a number of players out injured, so the group to do what they did, it's a good performance, good point.
Of course, one last week and a draw tonight. They say the Brandywell's not the greatest places they come to get a result, but certainly with taking a point away from here tonight, that'll certainly give the team a lot of confidence going into the next round of matches.
Yeah, I hope so. It should do. It's a tough place to come. We know that. They're a good team, a lot of very experienced players. So there's a contrast between the teams and that. But look, we felt it was a good point. We were good value for it. Didn't think they hurt us too much, as much possession as they had. And look, the group are, you know, listen, we need to win games, we know that, but also, you know, you take each game on its merits, and it's probably a good point for us overall.
And taking that point makes the journey home that little bit easier, not just for yourselves, but for the hardy 50 or so souls that travelled up as well to support the team tonight.
Look, incredible. I didn't know how many would be here, but to see it's incredible, the journey. I mean, it's a trek, that's for sure. So no, credit to the fans, they were brilliant. We could hear them throughout the game and at the end, and look, they were brilliant last week in a game against Galway. They were brilliant tonight, and look, I hope they go home with a smile on their face.
Jared, thanks for joining us on LOA TV, and a safe journey home.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Yeah, fair play to all the Cork City souls went up to Derry last night. But let's hear from the opposition camp now, and Derry boss Tiernan Lynch.
Derry City manager Tiernan Lynch joins us now. Tiernan, a very frustrating night for yourself, and a draw, maybe not the result you wanted.
Yeah, disappointed with the outcome, obviously. We plenty of possession, but we just didn't threaten them enough. We didn't penetrate enough. We didn't get in behind them enough. We didn't get enough shots on target. But as I say, as you said, actually hugely frustrating.
The possession stats were 72% in your favour. I don't want to rub salt in the wound here, but you know, it was a very windy night. That the one really didn't help. The ball was hanging in the air. There was maybe misjudged tackles, misjudged headers. You know, I think that frustration may be creeping through in the team during the 90 minutes.
I'm sure the conditions played a part out there for the players, but I think the big thing from our end was, as I say, 72%, and we kept it and we moved it and we kept it and we moved it, but we didn't play forward often enough, and we didn't run forward often enough, and we didn't work them enough. We didn't get in behind them enough, and we didn't cause the goalkeeper enough problems. And unfortunately, when that's the case, you're not going to win football games. I keep saying this, they're a really good bunch of boys. They work really, really hard. But tonight, we were frustrated. And only we can put that right.
A point is more valuable to themselves than to Derry City. They were very, very stubborn to break down. And maybe the masters of the dark arts in the second half, playing down every vital second that they had.
Yeah, listen, they done what they had to do. They managed the game brilliantly, but we allowed them to as well. Had we scored, that would have changed everything. And we'll now go away, and we have to look at this, and we because you probably imagine Drogheda is going to be the exact same next week, and we have to learn to break teams down.
You just led me onto my final question, and it was the fact that you'll give the guys a couple of days off now and it's back to the core on Monday to prepare for next Saturday night's game as well too, under the cameras.
Yeah, and listen, there's no shying away from anything. There's no burying your head in the sand. The only way you get through little periods like this is hard work, and hopefully the harder you work, the luckier you get. And that's what we got to do.
Tiernan Lynch, thanks for joining us on LOA TV.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Looking at the league table, we got a hope as well. St. Pat's hopefully go on and beat us Sligo Rovers tomorrow. From the football to the Camogie, you know, and there is a small matter of the All-Ireland Camogie final on tomorrow in Croke Park at 5:15. And to talk to me about it was, of course, our very own Ger McCarthy. Tomorrow at 5:15, Cork take on Galway in the All-Ireland Camogie final. Ger McCarthy, a man who's been following this team all year, how are you feeling about it?
Can't wait. That is the honest answer. I think it's the two most consistent and the two best teams in this year's senior championship. I think both Cork and Galway have proven that. I know Cork already hold a very big win over Galway in this year's National League final, but coming into that National League final, only three players in the Cork panel at league medals, any kind of medals at senior level, so that was clearly a target for them. I wouldn't read too much into that. I think both semi-finals, Galway is really excellent performance to see off Tip and Cork being pushed by Waterford, show that these are the two best teams in the senior championship this year. I think the two best managers are involved in Colin Murray and in Joe Manley, and certainly two of the most talented panels we've seen at senior level for the last couple of years. It's a repeat of last year's final that was only decided by a Katrina Mackey goal. It's going to be in front of a huge attendance because of the triple header in Crow Park. It's all set up to be an absolute cracking and classic day for Camogie, and I think we're in for something special.
How much do you think this revenge mission from Galway is going to play into it?
I think they'll probably play it down in public like they have done very sensibly, but I do think that some of the more experienced Galway players on that panel will know that they lost out last year, that they missed an opportunity to win All-Ireland. And they've taken a beating already, 11-point beating from Cork already this year in the National League final that I talked about there. But some of the younger players won't have any fear of Cork down because they faced them already. They faced all of these players. They know each other very, very well. That's apparent from all the interviews we did for the Big Red Bench and the build-up to this. It was a recurring theme with the Cork players that, look, we know that if we don't play for the full 60 minutes, Galway will beat us. That's pretty much it, because they have that much respect for them. I suppose from Galway's perspective and Cathal Murray's, they haven't put in a full 60-minute performance this year of note. Now, they've done well to beat Tipperary and they've beaten some big teams, as we said, on the way to it. But they'll also need a full performance if they're going to stop Cork doing three in a row. And I just think the two teams know each other so well, and they've met each other down through the years, and there's a healthy respect there. There's also an unbelievable edge to this. There's going to be a huge physicality when it comes. I think that's one of the things you hear about Galway an awful lot, that they bring a lot of physicality to the game, and they certainly do that. But that's not to take away from the talent that they've got. I mean, any team with Ailish O'Reilly, Aoife Donoghue, Niamh Mallon, Kerry Dolan, like these are players that would walk into any inter-county camogie setup. They have a hugely talented team, and their biggest weapon, in my opinion, is their manager. And the reason I say that is with Colin Murray, like, this is his eighth, or his, I think it's his eighth, ninth year now with the Cork, with the Galway senior team. He's won two All-Irelands with Galway. He knows how to win. He's been on the receiving end of two losses, so he knows how to deal with the losses and bounce back. And the big concern for me, Dan, is that in this year's under-23 All-Ireland final, the newly introduced under-23 grade, which we followed, and we were at the final in the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick. Cork came into that fantastic Cork under-23 setup, won all their matches in emphatic fashion, including beating Galway. But it was Galway under Cathal Murray in the final came up with a plan to nullify their threat and turn the tables and cause a bit of a shock. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily going to transfer into the senior side of things, but it's a nice reminder to the Cork players that it doesn't matter what you've done coming into an All-Ireland final. It's what are you going to do for me on the day? Huge amount of experience in the Cork panel, but there's even more experience in that Galway panel and a manager who knows how to beat them. Revenge may not be said in public, but I would imagine a lot of those Galway players in that dressing room before they run out onto the pitch in Croke Park tomorrow will be reminding some maybe of the younger players, we are not losing to this Cork team again. And it's an interesting, there's so many subplots to this dance, so many storylines, but I think it just comes down to who's going to want it more in the day. And there's not going to be much in this, but do not underestimate this Galway team, especially after losing last year. Motivation certainly won't be an issue.
On the Cork side, I'm looking at the scoring list here. Amy O'Connor with 5:30 on frees. Saoirse McCarthy with a few frees as well, 1:18. Claude Finn, 4:07. There's a fair few players coming in on fairly good form as well. Who should we be looking out for?
Well, I think, to be fair to Saoirse McCarthy, I thought she was the player of the year last year, and I thought she should have been awarded the player of the year. And I think she's already probably Cork's most consistent player. She may not light up the scoreboard as often as she'd like, but what Saoirse McCarthy does from a half wing, a wing forward position, a wing back, wherever she's stationed, she gathers the short puck outs and she goes up the pitch, draws a foul, or she delivers in the ball that gets this Cork attack moving. She's lucky in that she's got an experienced duo of Hannah Looney and Aisling Thompson in and around that middle third, that allows her to pump forward and to make those kind of penetrating runs. But the good news for Cork is, I suppose, apart from Saoirse McCarthy's creativity, there's so many scorers in this forward line. You mentioned Amy O'Connor. You mentioned, like, there's Katrina Mackey, whose goal last year in Ulster's All-Ireland final, she rolled back the year. She's an experienced player, doesn't get phased on the big day, and does a huge amount of unseen work off the ball that she doesn't get credit for. You got Saoirse McCartan coming in a full forward, a huge physical presence, but a deadly finish if she gets any bit of room. And then you've got Emma Murphy, somebody that's really come onto the scene and done really well this year at Glen Rovers. You've got Orla Cahalan, Maeve, the captain's sister, who can pop up with a goal at important times, and she's got a full year under her belt now. There's so many attacking weapons in this Cork team. It's very, very difficult for Galway to figure out how Cork are going to actually line up, where they're going to position these players, and how they're going to attack them. I think the matchups, Dan, are going to be absolutely crucial. Who is Roisin Black, the fullback for Galway, going to pick up? Who's Dervla Higgins and Ciara Hickey, like the two wingbacks who are very, as important to Galway as Aoife Healy and Laura Hayes and Laura Tracy are in the wingback positions and centre-back positions for Cork? So how Galway match up to the Cork forward line will be fascinating in the opening minutes. I do think, though, that Cork just have the edge on Galway when it comes to attacking threat. I mentioned Niamh Mallon, I mentioned Alwyn Rabbit, I mentioned, you know, I haven't even mentioned Murray Dillon and a few of the other players, but Ailish O'Reilly. But I just think Cork, the front six, any one of those players is capable of popping up with a goal. Any one of those players is capable of having a standout day like Amy O'Connor did 2 years ago in Waterford with that magnificent hat-trick. The attacking prowess in this team that Ger Manley has built, I think, gives them the edge over most teams, because if Orla Callahan has a quiet day, if Emma Murphy's been picked up by a defender, the likes of Amy O'Connor, the likes of Saoirse are the ones that pop up with the scores. How Galway match up to them would be fascinating, and you could flip that and say, well, how are Cork going to match up to the Galway forward? So it really is a fascinating battle. There's nothing between these two teams, but I do think Cork do have an attacking threat from deep, with Saoirse McCarthy, Aisling Thompson sitting deep, and those wing backs, if Laura Hayes and Aoife Healy start to get forward, I think we're going to see some super scores, and probably, I think, another high scoring encounter.
We know how good they are on the pitch, but mentality wise as well, Jordan, seems extraordinary. Like the I think Sterling Winners was the phrase Joe Brawley used, but Aisling Thompson, Hannah Looney, Maeve Cahalan, do you think they're just built up winners in their own heads?
I think when they're gone, we'll realise how important these players were, not to Cork Camogie, but to Camogie in general. There's very few players come back from the injury, the ACL injury that Aisling Thompson experienced, to perform to the levels that she's performing at now. And what I mean by that is Aisling doesn't bomb up and down the pitch like she used to do maybe 5-10 years ago. When you're in your mid-30s, you just can't do that. But she's reinvented herself as almost like a sweeper and a midfielder. And her reading of the game is absolutely sensational. Her ability to be in the right place at the right time to break up opposing attacks. Do not underestimate how important that is. She's lucky in that she's got a back six behind her, a full back line of Mackie Coppinger and Maeve Callahan, and then that half back line that I keep going on about, Aoife Healy, Laura Hayes, Laura Tracy. But with Aisling Thompson, the way she reads the game, the way she breaks up, and the way she controls things for Cork is hugely important to how they play. Hannah Looney, not alone in terms of Camogie, but also as a dual player, what she's done over the past decade is utterly sensational. I think we take it for granted too often. And those two players in particular, Dan, in the dressing room. I know Maeve Callahan is the captain, and Maeve has spoken to us about it before. There are times when the captain needs to speak, but there's also times when the more experienced players like the Amy O'Connors, the Aisling Thompsons and the Hannah Looneys, when they stand up to speak, I can tell you that that dressing room is absolutely dead silent, because these players have been there and done that when things weren't going well for Cork Camogie, when off the pitch maybe things weren't what they should have been. They were the ones who drove change. They were the ones who stood up and led the charge, not just for Cork Camogie, but for all Camogie. I have the utmost respect, I think you can hear it coming through my voice, for these players, because, as I said, it's great now at the moment. We're going for 3 in a row. Cork Camogie's on a high. It's going fantastically well at under 23 level, and a club championship coming around the corner. That's going to be fantastic viewing for local fans as well. But these players were the ones that were there when things weren't going well, when things weren't available to players, when they were forced to stand up for what they felt was right, not just on behalf of Cork but all Camogie. And I have the utmost respect for them, but do not underestimate their ability to still out on the pitch. Thompson to read things, to break up the opposition, Hannah Looney to link midfield and defence with attack, and Amy O'Connor, if she's not marked tightly, can kill any team in a space. We saw what she did to Waterford a couple of years ago. Their voices before the match will be as important, I think, as their performance on it. Not to forget the two Mackies either, and the length of time they've been there. So Cork are blessed in that they've got players of that calibre, of that experience, and I hope it's enough to get them over the line.
You mentioned the triple header, so hopefully we'll have good attendance in there, but from your understanding, is there a big Cork contingent heading up?
My understanding is, in fairness to the Cork Camogie board, and I think to them via social media, which you've seen yourself, Dan, they have been pushing this since immediately after that semi-final with Waterford. There's been something at least once or twice a day on social media. They've been pushing hard for Cork fans and clubs to bring out as many people as possible to Croke Park. I think it's going to be a very, I think it's a unique occasion, like unlike you know, the hurling and the football, when it's just pretty much one game. You won't remember the days, you're too young, but I remember the days when the minor final was on just before us, and you know, you'd have a double header as such. But for Camogie, the fact that you'll have Kerry and Offaly following, our fans going up there, hopefully bring a huge contingent with them in the intermediate final, which precedes the senior decider, and also the under 23A final. Big, big day for Armagh and Laois as well. Let's not forget them. They're on at 1 o'clock as well. So from 1 o'clock on Sunday right through to 7 o'clock, three games back to back. It's Camogie's biggest day. I do hope that the effort that the Camogie Association and Cork Camogie have put in will be reciprocated, and that as many fans as possible will come out. But if the media night was anything to go by, then we're going to have a massive crowd there. And if club social media activity in the build up to this, with all the young players out on the pitch wishing Cork well, is anything to go by, I think we're going to have a fantastic crowd. I hope it goes well. Camogie needs it. It's been a decent championship. It's not been lights out like other years, but it's certainly been a decent championship. But for the senior side of things, the two best teams being in the final gives it an opportunity to go out with a bang, and I think this game is going to go out with a bang.
I mean, we saw how great the media day was. Everyone seemed to get access to everybody, and the kids got access to all the players. Do you think other sporting organisations in Cork could learn from this Cork Camogie side?
No, far be it from me to draw the Cork County Board on me, Dan, in terms of football or hurling. I think it's safe to say that the hurling side of things this year, we were blessed because of Pat Ryan and his willingness. And that media night was brilliantly organised by Cork GAA in Parky Cueve the night before, the week leading up to the All-Ireland Hurling Final. The footballers are a bit more guarded, and that's fine if that's the way things are. It's a bit more difficult to get access to the players there. But when we do get access, they are quite open and they're always honest. But I do think both the ladies' football, Cork ladies' football, I would mention this now as well, certainly underage, they've been brilliant to us this year when it came to interviews. They were always available. And senior side too, they've always been made available to us when we've looked for them. But I do think the LGFA and the Camogie Association, they kind of have to fight a bit of an ongoing battle, you know, to make sure that they get the newspaper columns and make sure they get the radio space and make sure they get social media. But they are certainly doing a fantastic job on social media to promote their games. I do think the fact that there's no club championship in Cork this weekend, apart from under 21 championships, helps the Camogie in that it's got a clear run. There's fantastic coverage in the Examiner and the Echo over the last couple of days of this Camogie final. Huge build up. Whereas with the other finals, there's been club championships overlapping. It's been a bit more difficult to take centre stage from a ladies' football point of view. But I do think, as I said, I think you can learn lessons every year. And I certainly think Cork GAA can look at the way the Camogie have been so open with the media, and look at the way the ladies football at Cork are always so open with the media. It wouldn't hurt to give us a few players extra during the year if it was possible, and build up that trust again. I'd hold my breath on that one, but certainly from a hurling point of view, we were blessed this year with Pat Ryan and John Cleary too. When we did go looking for people, he did give us the odd one or two. But you can always improve things, Dan. You can always improve things, and certainly I've no complaints with the way the Camogie and the LGFA have treated us this year.
As a wider I was going to say issue, but a wider point as a whole, do you think this feels like a bit of a turning point of year for the Camogie Association? The Scarth thing finally came and passed, and looks like they've even made a real effort tomorrow. I see there's a tailgate party in the Croke Park Hotel. I know Ashley and O'Reilly's doing something inside the stadium beforehand, much like in the hurling final. There's DJs looking at here, t-shirt cannons, everything going on at Croke Park tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the Camogie Association and the LGFA have learned. They've watched what the hurling final and the men's football final does over the last few years. You can't just flick a switch and fill Croke Park, even half of it. It takes time. You have to build, I suppose, a legacy. You have to encourage young supporters to go up and experience it, and that making sure that they have a positive experience no matter what the result on the day. And I think they have pushed a lot this year, a lot more so in previous years. Again, I go back to social media and making players available and making it easier for the print and radio media certainly to get access to players. That's always a plus. But yeah, I think the day out, it's starting to become a little bit more like the hurling and the football final. The cannons, I've seen those cannons with the shorts and the jerseys, and it does engage the fans, and it does make it a lot more family friendly as well. I'd say that too, Dan, which is important. And the fact that you've six counties travelling up tomorrow, now you won't get the same volume of support for any of those counties that you might for football or for hurling. We accept that. But as you know, when you combine them And there is strong support for Cork Camogie. There's also strong support for Galway. They always bring a big crowd. In fairness to them, you'd like to think that, you know, you could at least match what the LGFA did for the Dublin and Meath final in the late 40s, high 50s in terms of a crowd. But it's an ongoing process, and it's a battle, Dan, to be quite honest with you. It's a battle for female sports, you know, to get to find, to get the same footing that the men's do. But we're going in the right direction, but we're still a long way off in terms of, you know, filling out a full stadium and hitting 80 odd, whatever, 1,000 it is. But we're getting there. And every year, I think they improve the experience. And every year, it gets that bit more important. Certainly, I think as far, there's a lot more eyeballs on this Camogie final, I think, now because of the teams involved. And again, because they've had a clear run of it in terms of nothing else being on. So look, we'll stay positive, hope that they hit the 50,000 plus mark on Sunday. But even if they don't, the efforts that have been put in by the Cork Camogie Association and the Camogie Association itself certainly will benefit the sport, I think, in the coming years. And don't forget, somewhere down the line, all of these sports are going to be amalgamated, so we'll see what effect that has.
Lastly, are the Rebelettes getting the job done tomorrow?
I've always been honest whenever I come on the Big Red Bench, and I've given an honest answer when I'm asked these questions. I don't wear the red and white jersey just necessarily to say it. I'm very worried about tomorrow, if I'm being dead really honest with you, Dan. I think Cork have been brilliant this year under Germanley and his backroom team. He's really got them buzzing. He's got what he also has this year that he didn't have last year. I think he has a panel. He has additional weapons off the bench, like Zaborna Mullins and players of that ilk, you know, Millie Condon, a few other players who might come on and make a big difference. Cork senior Camogie team is certainly in a far healthier state. We've lived through the Scart saga, come out the other side of it. It's all about the Camogie tomorrow. I worry that this Galway team, and I'm really worried about this presence of Cathal Murray as well. If Cork don't play for the full 60 minutes, then I think they could be beaten. But I do think that they're so focused, and that was the one thing in the media night, that when speaking to the players, you can't manufacture that when they're focused and they're talking about what's in front of them. They've been here before. Three in a row is not on their minds. They just want to get to Croke Park and they want to win. I think Cork are just about going to do it, but it will only be by a point or two. And that's provided they play for the full 60 minutes and put in their best performance of the year. Because if they don't, then there's a real danger here that Galway could upset the form book.
Sean McCarthy, thanks so much for speaking to us ahead of the Glen Dimplex All-Ireland Senior Camogie Final between Cork and Galway tomorrow, thrown 5:15. Enjoy the day, Ger, and we'll speak to you next week.
Cheers, man.
I just want to wish the Cork Senior Camogie team the very best of luck on Sunday as they compete in Croke Park for their third title in a row. Here's something I came up with earlier. It's a little switch up, of course. The Cork Senior Camogie version. Hop the Rebelettes. I'm feeling bold, and somehow I know where I'm going. The red and the white, Croke Park in our skies, and lo and behold, Callan leads the way.
Rebels feel alive again. Oh, striking so. Oh, the crowd, they glow. Praying for three in a row, so pride flies in the sky again. The Rebels feel
was Ella Ryan Music with her tune there. That's it for the first half, but stay with us. We've plenty more Camogie action to come in the second. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. I said there would be more Camogie action, and why would I lie? Here's Joe McCarthy speaking to last year's Camogie of the Year, St. Catherine's Laura Hayes.
Okay, Laura, another All-Ireland final week, another build-up, another crowd, huge crowd here tonight at Castle Road. Nights like this, does it help just for a moment to switch off about what's coming and see the younger players and the excitement, just as a break from everything?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I suppose, like, we obviously train first, and when you're training, you're focusing on that. But I suppose, as you said, when you can, like, finish and take a step back, like, God, the crowd that's here, I think it's a really positive step for Camogie. And even when we compare it to maybe the first night we had here to 3 years on, it just shows how much Camogie is growing in Cork and maybe the impact we're having. So, yeah, I know it's brilliant.
It's Galway, it's Colin Murray, it's the same team that you met last year, it's the same team you've met on numerous occasions down through the last number of years. Does that make any difference? I mean, they know you, you know them. I mean, it just is, does it help focus you on your own game more so?
I suppose, I don't know, for me anyway, I just think it's just something I'm massively looking forward to. I suppose there's a fierce rivalry there now after the last few years, but yeah, I suppose, like, as you said, we know each other very well. What we know about Galway, they know about us, so I suppose there's a bit of that in it, and that, you know, you just know you need to go out and perform, and it's who works harder on the day, really, because I suppose, as you said, we very much know each other.
Have you a set routine when you get to Croke Park, what you do on the bus and all that?
I suppose, grand, like, on the train we just chill out, hopefully sleep the night before, that's a big one, but often doesn't happen. Just go on the train, grand, and then once I'm into Croke Park, kind of listening to my own music then for a while, and then just chilling out. And I suppose at that stage you're excited, really, like, once you kind of get off the bus and you get into Croke Park, it's all excitement and about, like, kind of living in the moment then, and whatever happens after that then it's out of my control.
Yeah, because you tend to forget when you're interviewing players, like, it's Croke Park, it's an All-Ireland final, it's a huge moment in your life. I mean, you know, you have to focus in on the game and all that, but that the fact that it's just such a big thing, you don't really get to appreciate it until afterwards.
Yeah, 100%. I think I was only saying to a few of the girls on Sunday, like, after the match on Saturday, it was so nice to just sit down and be, like, looking forward to what we know is to come, you know, like, as you said, when you're in the moment you really have to be focused, but you know, there's really nice parts of it as well. You know, it's nice for your family, the build up, and you know, even the march, the parade, all that is really nice, and you know, they're the bits you can really look forward to before the match actually begins at all, and you know you've all your work done by the day comes, so it's just about enjoying it.
And that's all, that's basically what it is. Well, listen, Laura, from everybody in the Big Red Bench, we wish you all the best in that Ireland final. We'll be up there with you, and the best luck, her.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Let's hear now from Laura Tracy.
Laura, you've been through this enough times in the build-up to an All-Ireland. It is exciting. It's a bit of mayhem. Does it get any easier for you, though? I mean, you're in business mode now because we're not too far off that All-Ireland final with Galway. But nights like these are a nice reminder about the growing support that is behind this group.
Absolutely, you know, and I think every year, you know, you really enjoy these few weeks leading up to an All-Ireland. I remember a few years back, all right, it used to be a 3-week gap that you used to have, and now it's 2, and the 2 weeks absolutely fly, but you really have to sit back and you know, take it all in as well, I suppose, because these days aren't going to last forever, and they don't come around every year either. So, no, I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Colin Murray, Galway, last year's All-Ireland final, you've played them at undergrade level, you've played them at senior level, you know what's coming, they know what's coming, so there's a lot of familiarity about what's ahead, but what is absolutely essential is that you hit the marks and you hit the full 60 minute performance. That's what Charmanley has been saying. Does that help the players focus a bit more in that, you know, if it was a team like Kilkenny or Tipperary, maybe you hadn't been in All-Ireland final in a while, it's Galway, they know you, they'll be ready, you got to be ready too.
Yeah, look, they know us and we know them, and I guess, like, we do kind of bring out the best in each other. You know, yeah, we'll be looking at them, and we have done over the past little while, and I'm sure they've been doing the exact same to us, but you know, the players haven't changed as such, for us and for them. They have a few new fresh girls into that group, all right, and they had massive success. Obviously winning the under 23 was huge, and I'm sure, and I've heard a lot of those girls are in that setup as well, and winning helps, you know, and it helps a group. So I'm expecting a huge battle on Sunday, nothing that we haven't got before, but yeah, I think if we're to come out on the right side of this, you know, we have to be performing to our very best for all four quarters, and whatever the extra time will be after that.
What are things like in the Tracy household in the build up to an All-Ireland final? What are the cousins, the parents and the family like? They leave you alone, or are they bugging you?
No, I think they're used to it now as well, to be fair. No, they'll probably have a little bit more nerves than me as well. Probably a little bit different this year in the household itself. My sister's actually in Australia, so she'll be watching it from afar at all hours of the morning. I'll be nearly hearing her support from there, I'm sure. But no, Mum and Dad are used to it now, in fairness. And they've been my biggest, I suppose, role models. And you know, they've brought me from such a young age right through, you know, till now. So I think they know how to deal with it. I think we've been through it a few times now. So no, they're not too bad. The nerves will probably be there, all right, but they kind of know how to keep that away from me.
Very diplomatic answer. Just finally, you've won this before. You've been on the receiving end before. What would this mean, a 3 in a row, for this group especially? Because it's a different dynamic to this year's group. It's a different dynamic this year. But the competitiveness in looking for a place in the starting panel, let alone the starting 15, is very evident. But for you personally, what would it mean to win another one?
Yeah, like, I guess I'm not really looking at the 3 in a row aspect of it. We can probably look at, if we're successful, we can look at that after, you know. Every year you kind of go out to be the best player that you possibly can, and I suppose over the past few years, things as I'm kind of hitting, I am 30 now, and I've been around for a while, you know, and like, it's kind of like, can I still offer the same thing to this group, or is it kind of time to move on, and can I still get the best out of myself? And I had a good think about that over the winter, you know, and I thought that I could, and I hope that I have. But there's so many girls within this group, you know. There's some girls that it's going to be their first All-Ireland medal if we get over the line on Sunday, and some their second, you know. For some of us, yes, it will be 3 in a row, but we're going after an All-Ireland medal here, and you know, you don't go out at the beginning of the year thinking about, you know, oh, I want to go after 3 in a row. You're going after the All-Ireland medal, and if that means that it's 3 in a row after being successful, well, then that's really special.
It is certainly special, and we hope it's another special day for you. You certainly deserve it. Thanks very, very much for talking to us here.
Cheers, Ger. Thank you.
Send here now from Libby Coppinger.
Libby Coppinger, another build-up, another All-Ireland final. Is it different this time around, or do you go back to the muscle memory of what you experienced in previous finals and the build-ups?
I suppose they probably all bring a little bit different. But yeah, we're just trying to remember what we did before and, you know, go back to the basics. We're lucky we've kind of, you know, no different to Galway. We've been there before, you know the kind of the few days once we got over the line Saturday, everything is kind of put in place for the weekend. And look, I guess management are very good at taking kind of everything out of our hands, and we just have to focus on training and getting ourselves right for the next few weeks.
Yeah, because of the experience of the team and because you've been involved in so many All-Ireland finals recently, people just assume that there won't be nerves. People just assume that you'll have the, you know, you'll just rock up to Croke Park and off you go. It doesn't work like that, though.
No, definitely not. I guess, you know, any game like All-Ireland final day, there's going to be nerves, but I guess we're lucky to know what they feel like and, you know what to expect. I guess it can be definitely daunting when it's your first time up in Croke Park and everything like that, but we've been there. And yeah, you just, again, you're just going back to your routine, what you've done all throughout the year, you know, nothing has to change just because it's All-Ireland final day. So yeah.
How relieving is it for you, having been through the injuries? I don't want to keep bringing them up, but I just remember all the injuries, the one after the other, that you suffered, to be injury free, to be coming into a final and that you can focus fully on the game itself.
Yeah, that's what it is. But no, geez, I'm, you know, what you want to be doing is playing. So yeah, look, it was devastating to be, I suppose, on the sideline looking in last year, not really being able to contribute in any part. But yeah, I'm just delighted to be back training, and yeah, back fighting for a spot on this team, which is very difficult as well.
Yes, the intensity in the training matches, we'll call them, I can even just get a glimpse tonight, I can see, much like the Cork senior hurlers, that it ratchets up when you're getting closer to a final. Orla Mullen showed there, like the last that came on, got 1-2, and same for the backs. There's a lot of players want to get onto this team, and that pushes you then to improve as well.
Oh, 100%. You know, I guess that's something we really pride ourselves on as a group, that like trainings need to be as hard, if not harder, than the game we're going to face. So yeah, there's, everyone's putting their hand up, everyone wants to be getting those minutes on the game day. So yeah, there's nothing easy in the training sessions, which is exactly what you want and what you need leading into a tough opponent like Galway.
I'd say the final whistle in the Waterford semi-final had gone about 2 minutes, and I got the first ping on my phone. It was from a member of the Coppinger clan with a photograph of their huge flag and telling me all roads lead to Croke Park, so we'll see you there. They have been your family. I just wanted to bring them up because I know them, but I also know that they have been unbelievably supportive for you. It's not easy being an inter-county player and a dual player, and on top of all of that, but their support and your club's support and what it means to them down in Kilkeel, to see somebody as talented and like a local and somebody so nice like yourself doing so well, it's huge for them. I mean, you're bringing them along. I know you got to focus on your game, but and in fairness, they make a lot of noise, your crew, and it's great to see it, and it's a lovely thing.
Oh, Jesus, like my gang are incredible. They've been with me from, you know, the minor days when I first got on the team, coming up here for games, and they're only delighted to be going to go back to Crow Park again. But yeah, they've travelled everywhere. They're my biggest support, and I suppose, you know, they're always there to kind of pick you up or, you know, keep you level headed as well. So I'm so grateful for them. And you know, you wouldn't be able to do it, I suppose, just in general, but definitely not for as long. And again, with the ups and downs as well, they were there all throughout that, and I think it was nearly as hard for them as it was for me last year. But yeah, geez, I like so grateful, and like that, they bring a lot of noise, a lot of colour, and that Cullen flag is flying high wherever Tony decides to bring it. But yeah, and then St. Columb's as well, you know, I guess we're probably from an area where Camogie wouldn't be too big, but I'm just delighted to be putting us, I guess, not, you know, there's a lot of people putting us on the map, but, you know, be able to show that there's a lot of Camogie down there, and, you know, maybe inspire a few girls in the future. So yeah, the support they bring is unbelievable, and the girls always know when the Cullums and the Coppinger gangs are around.
You certainly do, as you said. I saw Damien O'Connor about the makeup of where people sit on the bus. She was explaining there's those that sit in the front, including herself, and then there's those that sit at the back to make a lot of noise. Where do you sit?
I'm kind of tucked in the back corner, right?
I heard that, right? Yeah.
No, look, I suppose we make sure we enjoy it, and then when we need to get serious, we get serious as well. So yeah, I guess everyone, you know, it's funny, you all have your different routines, and yeah, I suppose you get used to where you're sitting, and if it's different, you'd be thrown off a little, as much as you wouldn't like to think you would. But I'd be tucked in the back. Hannah's kind of beside me, and Ashley would be floating around as well, a few more. So
there's a back seat of everybody.
It's good. Yeah, we'd have a bit of snoozing going on as well. Yeah. Don't worry.
Just finally, what would this mean? This one, three in a row.
I think just the next All-Ireland, like, you know, that's the focus this coming game. You can kind of talk a lot about it, but it's just getting over the line the next day, getting another All-Ireland medal would be unbelievable. I think, like, that it's so great to be involved, but missing that little bit last year, you know, you really want it no more than any other year. But yeah, we definitely, you're there, and you want to win it,
of course, and we're absolutely delighted to see you back.
Thank
everyone
you so
on the bench
much.
Will be behind you. All the best on Sunday, and look forward
cheers,
to it.
Thanks, William.
Thank you.
We're going to hear now from Ciara O'Sullivan and Millie Condon.
Ciara O'Sullivan and Millie Condon, we are in the midst of absolute mayhem and madness with hundreds and hundreds of young supporters signing just about everything they'll get you to sign. Lovely night for you, and a reminder that the fans are all behind this team and have been for a couple of years now, Ciara.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, looking around and looking at all the signatures on the jerseys, it's the same kids, and you can see our signatures from the last couple of years and the last couple of games. So I think it's brilliant for the kids to get to meet us all and to get to even know us nearly at this stage, because, again, other signatures have been there for years. So it's great.
Millie, you've been through this last year, but when you're in an All-Ireland final build-up, obviously there's focus on what you need to do on the pitch with Dermanley and with the backroom team. But the group, and just seeing how many fans, the growing number of fans over the last number of years are behind you, must give you a lovely boost.
Yeah, no, days like these definitely kind of show you what we're doing it for, and just seeing everyone come together and all the young girls from all around Cork, all the young girls and boys, it's really good. Just to see where it's going to be going in the future.
Indeed. Millie, you've played Galway, and so have you, Ciara, but you've played Galway at underage all the way up enough levels, and you've met Cathal Murray teams in the past to know Cork need to pull in a full 60-minute performance in the All-Ireland final.
100%, but I feel like we always know that, like, against any team, we always have to put in 100%. We're more focusing on ourselves, I suppose, for next week, and trying to hit our own targets, and hopefully we'll come out the better side.
Hit your own targets, not the opponents. Okay, fair enough. Ciara, from your point of view as well, I mean, you just like Millie, you would have played Galway at underage level, you played them at senior level. They are physically, you know, they're a match for Cork, and last year's final just shows how close this one's going to be again.
Yeah, 100%. I think last year's final went down to the wire, and, like, that's always the way every year against them. And Kilkenny over the last couple of years as well. It's like a point or 2 points either way, so like we know we're up against it, and like nothing is ever going to come easy. So I think we've put in the work the last number of weeks, we just need to bring it on Sunday week.
In all the teams and panels you've been involved in, is this one the most competitive? Because I see we got a glimpse of just the practice, I call it a practice game, it was a full on game tonight, there was no quarter asked or given, but is this the most competitive panel to make that you've been involved in since you've been an intercounty player?
Yeah, 100%. I think a couple of years ago when I came onto the panel first, we were probably building and we had an extremely young team, and now it's like our team has really built over the last number of years and we've developed in so many ways, and now we have all the younger girls like Millie and Ava Fitz and a few more who are breaking in as well, and I genuinely think it's the most competitive panel we've ever been a part of. Like there's probably like three or four players for every single position on the pitch, so it's so competitive, it's great.
You'd agree with that, Billy, that it's trying to get onto this team and just even making the panel is an achievement in itself?
Yeah, no, I feel like every one of us know our jobs now at this stage. It's more so pushing everyone to try their best now and to push everyone to make a starting spot and make starting 20 as well.
And just finally, what are you like on All-Ireland final day? One of those quiet players, or does she annoy the rest of the teammates, or do you keep to yourself?
Just do the same as normal.
Annoy the teammates. No. But it is nerve-wracking going up to Croke Park. It's making a joke about it, but it's Croke Park. It's All-Ireland final day. It's a big deal. Focusing the mind and focusing early is not an easy thing to do when there's nerves. And I would imagine no matter how many times you go to Croke Park, you're going to be nervous.
Yeah, no, it'll only be my second time playing up there now. So it's a big event. Just to take it all in, I suppose, and be in the moment.
And you in the moment as well, Ciara? On All-Ireland final day, is it hard to get into the moment?
Yeah, I think just like we've been there over the last number of years. Like this is our fifth final in a row, I think. So like I think maybe for a few of the older players, like we're a bit more used to it now, and going up there in All-Ireland final day, I'm grateful to say it's like almost like a routine thing. So like hopefully we'll get over the line this year, and the nerves come with it, so it'll be okay.
Excellent stuff. The very best luck to both of you.
Thanks, we'll
see you there in a day.
Thank you.
Let's also hear now from Hannah Looney.
Hannah Looney, fantastic. Another build up to another All-Ireland final. You've been through this before. Is it easier to handle it nowadays, or do you still get as nervous as you did back in the day?
Yeah, it's mad. I could get it wrong, but maybe is it 8 or 9 finals now I've been through since 2014. So like it doesn't change. Nothing much changes. You know, I think the only thing that does get a bit easier is you know what you're getting into. You know what it's like either winning, losing, you know the competition, the challenges in Croke Park, you know, the routines in Croke Park, you know all that. So at least that. But you know, it's great to be down here in Castle Road with a phenomenal crowd here getting behind us again. So
yeah, the support is growing year after year. It's fantastic to see so many young boys and girls as well looking up to you. Very important for the future of the game, what goes on. I know your focus is the All-Ireland final, but when you see these crowds and the crowds that are following you, must be give you a buzz. I mean, to see the group that, you know, how highly you're held.
I think so, and like there's always more we can do to support women in sport, but to be fair to us in Cork, you know, we do get a lot of support, and you know, we really really appreciate it. So like, you know, if I had a call to action of parents of daughters, you know, I suppose one thing that would frustrate me is you see daughters going to the hurling matches but never come to the camogie matches. So like, you know, if we can be role models and keep more girls involved in sport, you know, that would mean the world to me, because at the end of the day, you know, whenever I hang up the boots, I don't think I know it's cliche they to say you don't remember the All-Ireland medals, but it's the friends, it's group, it's the soft skills that I've learned from playing camogie that has brought me to be a better person all around. So like, that's always my message to young girls and young people, to keep involved in sport. So you know, I think at the end of the day, that is the aim. Like, so.
Very well said. Last year, pushed to the pin of your collar by Galway, more or less the same. Good news, I think, from Cork's point of view, you got a real challenge in the semi-final against Waterford. You had to up it at certain stages, had to change the tactics a little bit, but you found a way to win. It's going to be the same against this team, because they know you and you know them.
Yeah, we needed that, like, to be fair. And it's actually this morning I was scrolling on Twitter, which I shouldn't be, but I came across something very powerful. It was from the Lions tour camp, and it was Katie Taylor was sending a message in, and basically what she was saying is like, you know, sometimes you can have all the skills in the world, but that's not going to get over the line. It's determined, it's grit. Sometimes on the big days, skills, the better team, it goes out the window. It's who's going to fight hard on the day. And you know, we're delighted that Waterford gave us that challenge. So and in many ways it didn't matter who was our stars in that first half, because it was all about just grinding out, keeping things calm, and then thankfully we did plough on a bit in the second half. But good challenge, and you know, it's going to be that and 10 times more Sunday week against Galway, so hopefully we'll be ready.
Exactly. The other thing I've noticed with this year's group as well, there's yourself, there's Aisling, there's the Mackies, there's a lot of people who've been there and done that, but the players that have come in over the last number of years, there's a gel in this group. Again, it sounds like a cliche, but you don't win what Cork win unless everybody is on the same page. But you've set standards that the younger players coming in now have to rise to. Is that a fair comment?
That's it, and like it's a really good reflection. And if I'm being honest, I think this team has probably been building since 2019, 2020. Blooding like the likes, you know, 2020, 2019, 21, like Laura Hay, Saoirse, they would have been all just coming into the setup, and now they're key players, now they're stars. And but it did take that time, it did take losing those All-Irelands, but now you have a solid core, so it's very easy, not very easy, but it's a lot easier to, you know, like we're bringing in Millie Condon, we're bringing in Ava Fitz, it's a lot easier for them to come in because we have a core setup and we know the standards that we hit. And like if I'm being honest and I reflect maybe like, you know, Cork football at the moment, a setup that I'm also very proud to be involved in, you know, do you have that gel that we've built from the last couple of years, that what it takes to win an All-Ireland? Probably not yet, it comes with time. So we're very fortunate in Cork. It did take the losses to get to where we are. It wasn't easy to get where we are. So how do we keep that? How do we keep it up? And, you know, getting another All-Ireland title is what we need to do to keep growing and keep going forward.
Just finally, I've been asking the players what their routine is on match day, where they sit on the bus, and there's been a different set of answers. Every answer has included you sitting at the back of the bus. Is there a reason for that? That you and Aisling and like Libby Coppinger are down there?
Yeah.
Would you care to comment on that?
Yeah, and like, to be honest, I'd be very thrown out if we didn't keep our same positions, because actually in the semi-final, I think poor Claire Kingston, you know, she's new into the group, and she kind of sat in a seat and it put us all off, and everyone was like, oh geez, where are their seats? So yeah, I sit in the middle, Libby's back there with me, Aisling Thompson's back there with me, Laura Tracy's back there with me, and that's just a routine, and you know, we like to keep it as it is. Libby might say a few rounds of the rosary for us as well. That's
okay.
A new tradition.
We lead with that in the Red FM. Libby does the rosary.
Libby does the rosary,
okay.
Yeah.
Look, you've been fantastic to us down through the years in terms of making yourself available, the whole Camogie setup. Nobody deserves it more to get another All-Ireland medal. We wish you all the best here from the Big Red Bench.
Thanks a million, Ger. Thanks a million. I really appreciate it.
And lastly, we're going to finish on the rugby, as Ireland were beaten by Canada as they continue their preparations ahead of the Women's Rugby World Cup. And Stephen Keasby-Green of Off the Ball has the full Tyrone Port.
It's all over here in Belfast, and Canada have beaten Ireland 47 points to 26. Ireland were left with a mountain of work to do in the second half after trailing 33-7 at the break against the second-best team in the world. They came out firing at the start of the second half, piling on the pressure deep inside the Canadian 22. However, Canada were able to absorb the pressure, eventually pushing Ireland deep inside their own 22. A game of kick tennis erupted, and the breaking ball landed in Julia Shell's hands, giving her a 60-metre run under the posts to give Canada the first point of the second half. If the first try of the second half was against the run of play, the second half certainly was not, as Ireland turned their 20 minutes of possession into a try out wide for Anna McGann. McGann followed up immediately with a second try, scything through the Canadian defence in midfield and beating two cover defenders to score near the posts. Not to be outdone by her teammate, Bavine Parsons scored her second try of the game, exploiting the overlap out wide and taking it to a 14-point game into the final 10 minutes. It would be too much for the hosts, though, as late Canadian possession deep inside the Irish half meant they couldn't get the two scores they needed to tie things up. A last-minute yellow card to Stacey Flood for a high tackle would give Canada the last score of the game as Sophie Dugoody crashed over from the set phase. While the final result will not be what Scott Beaman would have wanted, the improvements in the second half will give him lots to think about heading into the World Cup in 2 weeks' time. It's all over here in Belfast. Ireland 26, Canada 47.
And that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM.